A very good morning, your Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, on your dingy country. That's BBM Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, we're now going to catch up a yarn now with our deadly sister, Emily Carter, CEO of Mane Wanta Te Kura, Women's Resource Centre. She's probably going to correct me with that. And also got Lauren Rice. She's a research officer there. Very good morning, ladies. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, no, we're fine. It's a bit hot and hot over our way.
But Fitzroy Island, eh? Fitzroy Crossing, aren't you?
Yeah. Fitzroy Crossing.
Just check this, Emily, before we start, the pronunciation of your Delhi Women's Resource Centre there, Mane Wanta Te Kura?
Yeah, that's it.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. And you're the CEO. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah, okay. Well, my name's Emily Carter. I'm a Gidja Gunyandi woman from Fitzroy Crossing in the central Kimberley. I'm the CEO of Mane Wanta Te Kura Women's Resource Centre, and we're leading a research into our community around looking at our young people, looking at their strengths and their what they're good at, not so good at, but also around how do we support these young people. Giving them an immediate benefit, but also supporting their families.
Yeah, which is a very important space you're working in. Our young ones, they are our future, and it's about them picking up the baton and carrying it for our mob, but helping them find their direction or their skills, so to speak, in no matter what areas. That's what you're working towards, is that right, Sister Emily?
Absolutely. Our children are our future, and we've got to guide them as well as support them in whatever they're wanting to become.
Fantastic. And the Women's Resource Centre there, Mane Wanta Te Kura, how long you mob been operating for?
We've been operating since 1994. We first started off with a women's refuge.
Yes.
Where women and children wanted a safe place because of domestic violence, but we've since grown. We also have a legal unit that represents women in family law matters as well as VROs. We also, we have social workers, or we have a social worker, I should say, and our therapist / counsellor. We have the Marilu unit. Now, the Marilu unit started because we did the first prevalence into fetal alcohol spectrum disorder in this country.
Yes.
And Marilu unit, the Marilu means precious, worth nurturing in the local Bunuba language here. And so we started off with the Marilu unit. How do we support families and build the capacity of these families and their children who are living unique and complex needs.
Yeah. So Mane Wanta Te Kura has become a one-stop shop then. You're virtually supporting the whole community in all aspects of their lives.
Yes, exactly. We also run a early learning centre and a child and parent centre. So our early learning centre from 0 to 3. And our Child and Parent Centre is children-focused services that can come and use our service.
Beautiful.
And a Marnan Studio, where our older ladies and younger ladies can come and make beautiful things that they're able to make money from, and it adds to their family.
Yeah, good, exactly. Another sort of source of income, more money at the table. Look, fantastic. And you have Lauren Price there. Bring into the conversation, researcher Lauren. So tell us about your journey and the work that you do.
Yeah, so I'm a research fellow at the University of Sydney. And my background is in disability. So I've been working with people with disability for the past 17 years. And I joined Emily and Professor Elizabeth Elliott and Sue Thomas to work on the Biggest One Kid project. We're following up the children from the first emphasise the prevalence study that was led in this community to see how these young people are going now at their 17 to 19 and to see what services they need to thrive into adulthood. So I've been living in the community for the past 18 months.
Yes.
Emily made it clear that any research conducted here, the researchers had to live in the community so that they could properly understand everybody's needs. And also, the research had to provide direct and immediate benefits. So it was Ms. Marmanjee Hand and Jadena Davies who came up with the idea to follow up these kids.
Yep.
Because that original study identified a large number of kids with complex chronic needs. And Emily and June and Marmanjee always worried that the health and education services didn't have the capacity to deal with the large number of kids with needs. So we're looking to see whether they got the supports they needed back then, and if they did, if that's helped them progress into adolescence, and if they didn't, why not? So that we can then identify gaps in services and work with government services in partnership to help ensure no other kids fall through the gap.
Regarding your research there and how the statement was made that you have to live in the community to do your research, and that was a powerful tool, wasn't it, Lauren?
Yeah, so Emily made it clear that any researchers had to live in the community so they could truly understand what life is like, and I completely agree, having been here for 18 months, that you don't understand if you're a drive-in, drive-out service. It's that lived experience that's taught me so much. But what people like the chair of Manan, Marmanjee Hand, and other senior women in the community also advocated for is that the research had to provide direct and immediate benefits to the young people.
Yes.
So these kids couldn't wait 3 years for the data to be collected, analysed and published to see an improvement in services. So we've been talking to young people and the parents as part of our consultation to understand how we, as researchers, can help them during the data collection phase. And this has been a really powerful element and novel aspect of our project as well. Because regardless of how much they choose to participate in the research, we help them with things like getting a birth certificate, an ID card, bank card, their L's. And often we find that once they've passed their L's test, it's the first test they've often passed in years, they're on this real high. So then we use that to encourage them to find a direction, whether it be to go back to school or to further their education or get a job. And then we walk alongside them. So it's not about just dropping them off for the interview, but we role model and role play how to do things to help build up the confidence to do whatever it is that their goal is to achieve.
Look, it's a fantastic process, and it's about walking hand in hand and on their journey, so to speak. And if you go a mile, see a mile sort of thing.
Well, exactly. And it has to be community-led. By Aboriginal people, whilst we have our partners, which is Sydney University. It's very much led by our organisation.
Yes.
And that the research has to be of benefit to our community. We don't just do research for research's sake. And when we talk about people, researchers coming and living in our community, that's the way to go when we look at research. It has to be where they know what is going on in our community, and they're a part of our community and not just coming in and out getting information from us.
Exactly.
But can I just say that Sydney University has been our partner for over 10 years.
Beautiful.
And just recently we've also partnered with the Lowitja Institute to carry on with this, with the research, and we want to thank the Lowitja Institute for providing further research funding to us for us to complete this work. We're not finished yet. It will take still another 12 months to finish, but at the end of it, it will be of not just benefit to our community, but it should be of benefit to every other Indigenous organisation and communities across the country.
Yeah, second that, Emily. Thank you very much. And a big shout-out to Lawucha Institute, the work that they're doing, of course, Sydney University. Lauren, thank you very much. Emily, my sister, thank you. As always, fantastic. Please do keep in touch. And girls can do anything, my sisters.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. A deadly yarn there. That's Emily Carter, CEO of Manawantikara Women's Resource Centre at Fitzroy Crossing, and also the research officer, Lauren Rice from Sydney University. And a big shout out to Lawucha Institute and the work that they're doing and providing funding for this research to go ahead. Thank you very much for tuning in your daily program. Add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black, Trendy Trev, Murray from Nakari, 1-800-422-416.
There would be big problems, people told them so. McCoy keep Father Dave and James would deal the fatal blow. In 1982 began the quest for equality. On Murray Island, known as Mur, three men were called to be leaders of a fight to prove we had a community. Goiki, Father Dave and James stood up to set us free. The state and federal governments of Australia, we had to prove that who we were was still the same today. There would be big problems, people told them so. Mikey, Father Dave and James would deal the fatal blow. The term of terror nullius, a shame to all who knew, would soon be seen as its own farce for them and me and you. So the High Court came to Murray Island, where all could plainly see the boundaries and ownership was set for you and me. They saw the fish traps and the reefs, they looked at land and sea. They knew that we had never changed, been here for eternity. There would be big problems, people told them so. The Koiki, Father Dave and James would deal the fatal blow. People told them so. The Koiki, Father Dave and James would deal the fatal blow. Now you Murrays and y'all knew too, Kuris and Noongas they, Yapa and Noongas from over the west, stand up and say you care. We hope you learned that lesson from the Murray Island mob, that you can stand up and help yourself if someone comes to rob. Yes, there were big problems, people told them so. But Koiki, Father Dave and James did deal the fatal blow. Yes, there were big problems, people told them so. But Koiki, Father Dave and James did deal the fatal blow. Yes, there were big problems, people told them so. But Koiki, Father Dave and James did deal the fatal blow. For TSI Mom and all the rest, they dealt the final blow.
Caught a train from Granada to Madrid. Tossed and turned is all I did. When I thought about my kids,
from Granada to Madrid. I won't cry, I won't cry, no, no, no. Yeah, yeah, I know. I won't cry. Said I won't cry, I won't cry, no, no, no. Caught another train to Hyundai. And I heard the engine sigh. When I looked into the sky and saw the eagles fly, oh, but I know he's there, ever watching over me. Yeah, him I know he's there. Ever watching over me. Got a bus to some. Yeah, we traveled far, not knowing where we were beneath these northern stars.
It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Nakari, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yijinji Country. That's BBM Bumrabib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, Deadly Dance Studio, Dance Movement, Murugu is marking a milestone and maps that next move. We're going to talk to dancer, choreographer, and her name is Dahlia Pigroom, and got them on the line. Dahlia, good morning. How are you?
Good morning there, Trevor. Thanks for having me.
To Dahlia, sister, thank you for coming along. Now, before you start, let the mob know who your mob is and where you're from, sis.
So I'll speak in my Yaru language.
Yes.
Ngayungambulan Yarungainburu. I come from Yaru country in Broome, Rubibi, in Western Australia.
Beautiful. Lovely. Beautiful language. Strong there too, Deadly Sister. Now let's talk about Murugu first. Murugu is the pronunciation, and tell us what that space is, please.
So our company, Murugaku, is an Indigenous Intercultural Dance Theatre Company.
Hmm.
And we're kind of celebrating, well, last year we would have been celebrating 25 years since the first production premiered, which was called Mimi.
Okay. And COVID-19 put a spin on that. Now you're celebrating this year, are you?
Yeah, we just have an extended extended period of celebration.
There you go, too deadly. And so let's talk about you. How long have you been dancing and how did it all start for you, Dahlia?
I've been professionally dancing with the company for its entirety, so since it made that first production.
Good.
Over 25 years ago, and I was lucky enough to my dance teacher of the time when I studied, Michael Leslie. He a very instrumental Aboriginal choreographer and dancer in Australia. Thought of the idea of making a show about the Mimi spirit. Conceived that idea and invited myself and a few other people that fresh out of training into the mix to help make a performance about the Mimi spirits from Arnhem Land in Goonwinkle country.
Beautiful, beautiful. So how many dancers are involved with Maragu?
Well, Maragu works with different cast members and ensembles from across the country for different projects. So back then it was a big troop of us working together. I think it was something like 24 people on the road. That's including all the production and performers and everything. We worked alongside the Goonwinkle elders and dancers to help tell their story.
Yeah, beautiful. So you're working closely with elders and traditional owners and telling stories.
Yeah. So just bringing different art forms like the that of the Stalker Theatre Company who were dancing on acrobatic dance on stilts.
Yes.
Which they, that was Michael Leslie saw them perform at Perth Festival and invited them or asked them if they would collaborate to make a piece because they had the form that looked like these long, elongated spirit figures.
The memory of spirits, that's right. Yes, fantastic.
Yeah.
And so do you take the show on the road, do you?
Well, that show was, you know, a long time ago and we worked within that community for 8 years, you know, travelling back and forth and making two major works, Mimi and Crying Baby, looking at the dreaming stories of the Goonwinkle people and kind of relating that to contemporary issues as well.
Yes.
And then we started kind of having conversations about that you know, where we are at as Aboriginal people and our struggles these days and, you know, and the work that needs to go on with the whole reconciliation.
Exactly.
Working together to tell stories. And we kind of, a few of us started, you know, lived in Broome and we were kind of thinking to invite the company to come and have a look for other stories in this region to tell, which led to the company, core members of the company moving to Broome.
Yes.
Coming to explore the stories in Broome and obviously finding that multicultural fabric that Broome's community makes up. And, then began the journey of making productions here. So we've since been here since, I think, 2003, set up in Broome. And Maragecu was never kind of... The story of Maragecu, which is celebrated in the book that's just recently been launched, kind of looks at the fact that we never knew that the company would go on and on for so long. We just kept creating work together because it felt like a necessity to tell these stories together and explore, you know, complex issues together.
Exactly. Dahlia, I strongly believe... your beautiful ancestors are working with you in spirit, and this was meant to be. And it's a fantastic, it's become a fantastic vehicle in educating people of the world and sharing the culture and sharing our Dreamtime stories. So I got goosebumps here. It's fantastic what I'm hearing, sister. And congratulations, you've got to be so excited and so proud. And the mob in the community has got to be excited as well, yes?
Yeah, I feel like the book and the company celebrates you know, all that hard work and it really does involve so many people like that are a part of the Maragecu family. You know, it takes it's not for the faint-hearted, the types of works we make looking at, you know,
exactly
our very complex, challenges, but also the celebration of our culture and who we are and the strength of spirit and our ancestors, like you say. So we're all very, very proud to be a part of the journey.
And with the Maragecu, is there male and females, young and old, a part of the group?
Yeah, always. Good. We work predominantly with, you know, professional dancers across the country, depending on what productions we're making. But we have an investment in you know, small remote communities and touring to inspire and then find those that are aspiring to be, you know, in the performing arts, whether it's bringing their painting to life or whether they're traditionally trained dancers. We see all that, all those forms of expression, artists.
It comes to the table, doesn't it? And it inspires, as you said, and it then opens, especially them young ones' eyes in regarding this is what I want to do, or here now my painting can come to life, and I want to talk to you more about making this painting. Help me make this painting come to life. So it's powerful, my sister.
I think that's why we do it. I think it feels so good to have the young ones and even some of the older ones that have been wanting to do this kind of thing or find a medium that actually expresses our stories and perspectives, which, you know, we're not getting to see that very often here in Australia and across the world. We need to see more Aboriginal perspectives and First Nations art being made.
You talk with so much passion, Dahlia, and thank you for sharing. It is fantastic. Do you guys have a web page as such, or how do we see your work?
Yes, you can go to our website, marageku.com, and check out all our history and our work and projects that are, you know, in repertoire, and also links to the book launch we just recently had, and, you know, also, those links lead you to where you can find a place to purchase the book if you'd like.
Yes.
Or, learn a bit more about our projects and our company and our story.
Well, Too Deadly, and we're selling the deadly story here on National Talk Black. And so, get our mob out there to have a look at it. Go to the webpage or Google Marageku, and that's spelled Marugeku.
That's the one,
All right, beautiful, fantastic. Dahlia, thank you very much for sharing. You are part of the Pigroom family, and you are kicking goals and fantastic. And big shout-out to all the deadly mob there, and keep doing what you're doing. Please do keep in touch, and congratulations once again, sister.
No worries, and thanks very much, and shout-out to all the mob over there listening. Wish you well in these strange times. I'm thinking of you all.
Beautiful. Thank you, sister. Take care, Dahlia.
All right, Galia.
Oh, Galia. Do Deadly, beautiful yarn there. And that's Dahlia Pigroom, her name is. And she's a dancer, choreographer, and working with the Marageku Dance Studio. And Mark Smileson maps that next move, so moving forward. But do check it out online and Google it, Marageku. That's Marugeku. And have a look at the beautiful work that they're doing. And it's inspiring to say, and fantastic, using dance as the tool. Educate the people, inspire our people, and tell our deadly stories and dreamtime stories. Very spiritual. Thank you. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416, National Talk Black.
Little sister, sister, what are you trying to say to me? Little sister, sister, what are you trying to say to me? As she stood there, she watched the sun go down. Little sister says, I like to watch the sun go down, but before I can, I've got to fly away, way up high like an eagle in the sky before I do. Little sister, sister, why you standing there so cold? Little sister, sister, why you standing there so cold? As the rain falls down, it washes over your sweet face. As the rain falls down, she disappears without a trace. Inside herself, but she will fly away. We'll fly like an eagle in the sky before I do. Fly, fly away, way up high, like an eagle in the sky. My little sister, fly, fly away, way up high, like an eagle in the sky.
sister, why you feeling so confused? Little sister, sister, why you feeling so confused? Can you feel it? I think it's something from your past. Can you feel it? I can get along at last. But before I can, I'm gonna fly away with her like an eagle in the sky. Way up high, like an eagle in the sky.
Hey you mob, are you thinking about studying at JCU but aren't sure if it's right for you? Come along to the JCU Cairns Indigenous Education and Research Centre on Thursday the 20th of October from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. to find out all you need to know about studying at JCU. Learn about the support available, meet the friendly staff and students, and find out what course is right for you. Google JCU's Indigenous Education and Research Centre or call 4781-4676 for more information.
Station sponsor.
Are you planning to start university next year? The JCU Indigenous Summer School is for you. Gain confidence and capacity to engage in university studies while making friends along the way. Over 5 days, you will develop a range of study skills and focus on building capacities in math, English and digital literacies to best prepare you for university study. Apply now to the JCU Indigenous Summer School. Applications close Sunday, 14th of November. Google JCU's Indigenous Education and Research Centre or call 4781-4676 for more information.
Station sponsor.
The Sovereign Yidinji government is calling for persons who are interested in learning a foreign language. The Yidinji nation wants to take its message to the world and is putting together a series of classes in Portuguese and German. You can contact the Yidinji government through Facebook. Just type in Yidinji Bama, or why not call the office on 0742114227. This message is brought to you by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade of the SYG.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Yidinji country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, 20 new research projects transform Indigenous health research in Australia. We're going to catch up a yarn with a very successful applicant, and that's Sue Andrews, CEO and project lead, Gurini Yalamaka. On the line, Suzanne, good morning, sister. How are you?
Hi, Trevor. Good night. Good.
Thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
So I'm a Kimberley woman from the northwest Kimberley area of WA. I'm a Jaru Punaba lady.
All right, fantastic, sister. And how long you been over there in Yarri?
Oh, look, I grew up in Yarri. Pretty much grew up here, yeah.
Too deadly. Yeah, that's right. And your CEO and project lead, Gurini Yalamaka. So tell us about this fantastic opportunity, 20 new research projects, and you're one of the projects that's got the thumbs up, got the green light. So tell us about this project, sister.
So Lowitja Institute had funding Australia-wide, and anyone could apply for some of that small grant funding with Lowitja around research, doing research in organisations and services. Mm. Gurini, together with Komala and Les Baird, applied for funding through Lowitja to do a family wellbeing research program here in Yarrabah.
All right, fantastic. And what does the project consist of? What actually is the project?
So family wellbeing here in Yarrabah has been around for many years. You know, it was actually part of the first, bit of Gurini before it became a clinic.
Mm.
So what it is that family wellbeing is around how do we get people's health and wellbeing ready if they're looking for a job, yes, or if they want to go into small businesses. What is that back-end work that needs to happen around yourself to get yourself ready, to get yourself in that mindset about, oh, look, I want to start a business, but what's some of the stuff I need to get ready before I get there? Or if I want to get into a job, yes, how do I keep that job? And family wellbeing helps do that.
Well, if you look at a health organisation, First Nation Health Organisation, like Girini Yalamaka, that's a process, isn't it? And when you look at a job or a career pathway or a business, financial security or moving forward, that's a part of health, isn't it?
Exactly, Trevor. When you talk about, or when you want to address all social determinants that's got to do with health, there are all these other social things that impact on your health. Having a job, getting into business, education and so forth. So these are all the things that involves the social determinants around healthy mind, healthy body.
Fantastic. So with the funding, what sort of funding are we talking here for this project?
So the funding's from Lower Chair Institute, and the funding will go towards delivering family wellbeing programs within Yarrabah to the mob. So anybody who's thinking about thinking of applying for a job down the track somewhere, or anyone who's thinking about going into business now, what are the things that I need to get ready personally myself, my well-being ready? When you look at it from a business angle, you think about, have I got the money? Do I need to do a cash flow? Do I need to do a business plan? Well, this is the flip side of that. This is talking about getting the person ready, healthy mind, healthy body, thinking about these ideas and how to make sure that we can continue with this, making sure that we're well and our family's well.
Beautiful. So with this funding, you can help mob set up business or get work ready, whether it be clothing, uniform, shoes, whatever the case may be. That's where you come in with this project?
Yes. So working with our job network called Woogunumbal, which is our job active here in Yarrabah.
Yes.
Working with our health service, we also have an economic arm around the working with Woogunumbal called the Accelerator Hub. Mm-hmm. It's where you put your business ideas through.
Good.
And it spits it out and say, oh, yep, it's a great business idea. We can get funding through here. Let's get you happening. But before all that happens, let's also look at how healthy you are, thinking and your family around that well-being stuff. So running the family well-being program will help you get in that mindset, getting ready to run a business or get into a job.
Look, it brings people to the table too, doesn't it, Suzanne, so that we can talk about the health process and then we can talk about the vision for the economic, the business process. But let's look at your health first, which is utmost important.
Exactly. We know mob in Yarrabah are not, as with any Indigenous community across Australia, a lot of our mob still have lots of chronic illnesses. How do we start to address those first, but also around that social, emotional well-being? How do we make sure that your well-being is intact as well, so that you're ready to think about this business idea? We don't have a lot of jobs in Yarrabah, so the next best thing in Yarrabah is how do we start to get people thinking about business opportunities, business ideas, and putting them into practice?
Well, starting a new business is the motivation in getting the health check, so to speak, because you want to be proper deadly when you start your business.
Hello.
Yeah. You there? Suzanne?
Yes.
You there, Suzanne?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm just saying. So in regarding starting a business, let's check out your health, because you've got to be looking and feeling deadly before getting into business so you can drive the deadly business.
Exactly. when you go into business, it's a long-term commitment.
Sure.
So when you look at that, look at your own health too, and that long-term commitment to your well-being, to make sure that you're going to see that through, and that you're going to be there around for a while to make sure that your business flourish, but also making sure that your well-being is intact as well.
Yeah, fantastic. Look, congratulations. I think it's a great concept, great idea, fantastic, and congratulations to Girini Yalamaka and the work that you mob are doing out there. Yarrabah represent, because they just won the grand final. There you go. So they'd be all fired up after winning the Cairns District Rugby League grand final, the second time running. So the mob must be still partying there, my sister.
Oh, look, here and there, they're still celebrating here in Yarrabah. Last time we won it was 2017, and we won it again this year, so awesome.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, thank you for sharing. All the best to your deadly team there, your family. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon, eh?
Thanks, Trevor, mate. Bye.
Bye, Darl. A beautiful yarn there. That's Suzanne Andrews, CEO and project lead at Girini Yalamaka, and talking about the new project they received funding for a new project, and regarding helping the mob there at Yarrabah to get job ready, get a job, or if they want to start their own business. But let's do the health check first. So a good draw card. Fantastic. Beautiful, you mob. Stay tuned. Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.